Welcome to Dog Training Bites. The show where canine professionals share their key takeaways, big aha moments, and hardest lessons learned from working with dogs. I'm Madison, certified dog trainer and behavior consultant, and dogs are my life. Every day, I get to coach guardians and other trainers into a deeper understanding of canine behavior. But let's face it, sometimes dog training really bites. And that's okay, because when it does, we learn a lot. This podcast is all about sharing the lessons learned from experience, because the stories of when it got tough or when we made a mistake, that's when we learn the lessons worth learning. And it's time we share those with the world. I'll be talking to dog trainers and other pet professionals about times that working with dogs, well, bit. Not literally. Maybe literally. What's most important here on this show, what did they walk away with? What did they learn? How did it shape their approach today? Welcome to Dog Training Bites, the show where pet professionals share personal lessons that you won't find in any textbook. Today, we're talking to someone who is a rare individual willing to commit themselves to the human side of the leash, Jessica Adams. Jess is a licensed professional counselor who brought together her love of animals and mental health with her coaching framework designed to support both guardians and professionals navigating the human side of dog training. Through her business, Handlers and Humans, Jess brings over a decade of experience as a therapist and her experiences of living with and loving a reactive dog to her coaching programs and courses. Hi, Jess. It's so nice to have you here and to finally get to meet you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I would love to kind of hear a little bit more about Dio and how this all began.
So the love of my life, who is about to turn 10, this weekend, actually, in a couple
happy
days.
Happy birthday, perfect lad.
Oh, my angel. He changed everything for me is the nutshell version of the story. But he came to me on a complete whim when he was 6 months old. I was 25, 26, something like that. And he was not a dog that I wanted. So I always like to start with that. Like, I was not expecting, first of all, a dog at all. Second of all, a dog that was that young. Third of all, a dog that had some challenges that I was completely not ready to navigate. Had no idea what I was doing whatsoever. Was not prepared at all. He has some reactivity challenges. He has had some resource guarding challenges. He's an anxious guy. Of course he is, because he's mine. And, you know, we just mirror one another in those ways.
We sure do.
Oh my gosh. He is incredible, though. I'm so proud of him. We have accomplished so much together, and it has just not been an easy road at all. But he's loving life, being a house dog who I tried to make a therapy dog at one point, and it didn't quite pan out.
So, didn't happen. That's okay.
No, I had all these grand plans for us, and we have landed in just like such a beautiful, collaborative, loving.
Yeah, space. He's really a partner for you in that way, and was really a huge inspiration for your business and your
100%. Yeah. He is the reason that this exists. And he's the reason I've made so many amazing connections over the 10 years that, you know, he and I have been together, I guess, and made so many awesome friends. And it's just been an amazing journey. And aside from that, he has carried me through the most impactful decade of my life, from getting divorced to getting remarried to becoming a professor to becoming a therapist to having children. I mean, all of it, Dio has been the constant. So I'm just so grateful.
Kind of carried each other through, you know?
Yeah.
So I am very excited to hear the story that you've brought for us today to share with all the dog people out there.
Yes, absolutely. So I will tell the story of why I don't have a therapy dog and I'm a therapist who wanted one.
Okay.
That was where I kind of wanted to start with it, because I think it really plays into the idea of expectations and how much that impacts our life with our dogs and our ability to connect to the joy of having them. And whenever I work with clients, that is probably one of the biggest pieces that I see getting in people's way of their own sort of emotional experience with their dog.
So
I mentioned before, I really, really wanted to have a therapy dog to take to work with me. I worked with kids and teens primarily, especially at that time. And I just thought that would be such a cool fun, unique, different thing to bring to my practice. And I went to an adoption event kind of on a whim with my partner at the time. Dio was the only puppy who was there. And so, of course, we were drawn to him. You know, well, my partner was drawn to him. I was looking for a slightly older dog, but
he had all the good, adorable puppiness.
All the cuteness, plus yeah. with his crooked ear that he already had, you know,
it
all those things.
Just sucked you right in.
It sure did, especially my partner at the time, because he was like, I want this one. And I was like, I don't know. He looks like a pit mix. I'm not sure if I'm comfortable with it, right? Like all the, yeah, you know, yeah. all the assumptions, all the things. So I talked to the rescue folks who were there. And I said, listen, I'm really looking for a dog who will be suitable to be a therapy dog, right? That's something I'm really, it feels really important to me. Yeah. I'm new to this, never had a dog as an adult before, et cetera. Their response was, he's young enough. You can train him to be
anything.
Go in any direction, right?
Sky is the limit, right?
So me knowing less than nothing, probably, I was like, oh, okay. He's young enough. Training creates the dog.
It's everything. Yep. It's the only thing that matters.
Right.
It is the single piece to the puzzle.
Exactly. It's all we have to focus on. Right. So off we skipped with this puppy home. And I just, this is
little Dio.
Little baby Dio with a crooked ear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was, this is how unprepared I was. And I want everyone to know that I am so transparent about this. I had to drop them off at home and go back to the pet store to buy supplies. I didn't have a bolt.
Which, by the way,
nothing.
That's the right move, because I have literally told people the exact same thing, because there's no way around the fact that sometimes dogs are going to come into our lives. We're not going to have things already. Don't take your brand new puppy to the pet store. Don't do it.
Oh God.
Yes. Don't do it. Drop the puppy off at home. Get somebody to watch puppy. Do not go right from the shelter to the pet store. That is not how desensitization or socialization works.
I am so happy that I made the right move in that moment.
You did.
Yes, I did. I left. Yep. He needed a bath badly. So he was getting hosed off in the yard before he was allowed in.
Right, right.
So at that point, when I went out and I got the things, I got the food, I got the, you know, all of it. So fast forward to year 4 of life with him, right?
Okay.
I had been doing all the things, and I mean all of them. Socialization classes, individual, group, like all everything you can think
checked
of.
Checked all the boxes.
Yep. Yes. Because pretty quickly after getting him, I started to learn about reactivity and what reactivity was, mm-hmm. and learned that dogs can be anxious and dogs display their stress in these specific ways. And right. And so I realized, wow, we're going to have to put in a lot of extra work to get your dog can go anywhere with the training that I was sort of led to believe right in that moment that I could do. And I'm proud of us because, I mean, we passed the evaluations. We passed the therapy dog evaluation. We passed the CGC. Wow. Like, we got there. It took us 4 years and a lot of tears. And that is a whole other.
A lot of frustration.
So much.
Probably a lot of like really, really great training sessions, but probably equal number of frustrated
rough
tears.
One. Yeah, really rough ones, really rough moments. Absolutely those moments where I hit a wall and was like, I don't even know if I can keep this dog in general. Mm-hmm. Like, aside from the fact that he may or may not become what I envision and hope, and, you know, I don't even know if I can have him, right? Yeah. Like, it was a tough time for sure. So we passed those things, and I was like, okay, we passed the, it took us 4 years, it took us thousands of dollars, all the things, here we go. I started taking him to work. And Dio is very good with adults and teenagers. He's not so good with the bouncy little ones. And there were a lot of bouncy little ones in the office in which I worked at the time. I didn't really know that about him. And he started shedding dander extremely. Like, he's a black dog. He'd be covered in white dander when we would leave work.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that meant. I took him to the vet. I was like, something is wrong with his skin.
Right. He's allergic. He's allergic. He's allergic to work.
He's allergic to work. Same, buddy, I guess. but I had no clue like what was going right. And so the vet was like, I think he's stressed in those settings. Oof. Right. Is that happening when
that
you
must
just
have
take
been
him
really
to work?
Hard
I was like,
to hear.
Oh my God. Well, because then I realized this is only happening the days that I take him. So we worked really hard. We passed the things. We had, you know, reactivity to deal with all the stuff. And then we get there and then it was not for him.
Yeah.
So I tell that story, like, that's the story that comes to mind for me. I know it's very specific to this, like I wanted a therapy dog and all that, but really I think it's applicable to the idea that we all have, even if we don't mean to, an expectation of what life with our dog is going to be like when we get them. Mm-hmm. Every single one of us.
Before we get them, which is even
Before we get them.
Worse.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. We don't even know that dog that's coming into our lives, and we envision already what that's going to be like. And that is how I entered into my life with him. Didn't help it was on such a whim. It didn't help that I was so unprepared. But I think honestly, the most impactful piece of that was the fact that I had this idea that I would have this work partner and I would have an animal assisted therapy practice and, you know, all of those things. I did equine therapy. I did a lot of that stuff. And so it was like, oh, a dog would be incredible, you know? And so when I'm working with folks, I see them get so tripped up on those expectations, even if they think they've let go of them. And even if they think they've overcome them, they still just like, they just creep right back in and get to us. So that was a story that I feel like is, you know, it gets to all of us. It happens for all of us. And we have to have a practice of coming back over and over and over again to what are my expectations of my dog in general? What are my expectations of myself? What are my expectations of us as like a collaborative pair? And am I being fair to us? Am I being, you know, reasonable to us? And how is that impacting my emotions and how I show up for my dog?
Yeah. I'm not sure that the expectations that have settled into the sort of general public knowledge of dog ownership, I'm not sure that those are setting any of us up for success.
I think that's such a good point. Absolutely.
The myth of the perfect dog and the impact that social media has had in conveying this razzle dazzle before and after magic trick, leading people to believe that either the perfect dog exists or that, like you said, it's as simple as a before and after training. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to flip a switch. And if I participate in training, you know, everything's going to be better. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it really is just a lack of having a better behavior. And in that case, training does resolve a lot of problems. And when we come across that, we're like, oh, this is going to be
an easy one. Yeah.
I don't see any real emotions under the surface. This dog just doesn't know what to do.
Right.
But when you have those emotions under the surface, it just, what success might look like for you ultimately may not even align with the expectations that you have. Mm. Right. And so, I think there's an exercise in letting go of these false images that we've built and then falling in love with the new potential for success, mm-hmm. because it can still be really great and really fulfilling, you know, for a life for you and this dog, even if it doesn't match with what you originally thought success would look like.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think I love how you said, you know, fall in love with the potential of what is there and what you can get to with them. Because at the end of the day, if you separated those expectations, you set them aside for a moment, chances are you love your dog regardless. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be listening to this.
I wouldn't be here, right?
So
exactly.
So if you can kind of pull that apart, right, and get underneath the expectations, you can stay connected to the things that you just really do love about them and start there and reconnect to that over and over and over again. And it is a practice. I mean, there are still to this day times that I was like, that I'm like, oh, Dio, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
We're still doing this. We're still, this is okay. All
I
right.
I think everybody has those moments with their dogs. Are we doing this? Okay.
Right. So we still struggle. He's still, regardless of the sort of quote unquote behavioral progress that we have made over time, he's still a reactive dog. We still have those moments. They're different than they used to be. They're less frequent than they used to be. I feel so much more able to manage them both in the moment and also within myself than I used to, but I still have a hard time. I still go to my own community and say, oh, we had a rough walk, you know, and have those conversations. But every time without fail with the one-on-one clients I work with, it's expectations that's where we start in the conversation about when they're struggling to cope with their dog's behaviors, when they are having a lot of really intense emotions about their dog's behaviors, there's an expectation floating in there somewhere that is contributing to that. And so maybe you didn't have these like very grand goals like I did, like I'm gonna have this like incredible therapy dog, right? Maybe you just wanted a dog to be going on hikes with you, or you wanted a dog, you know, that would love to lay with your kids on the couch or what, it doesn't matter what it is. Yeah. But the fact that that's still there and we're not always checking in with it and picking up on where it's showing up for us, it just trips us up. It gets in the way of our ability to connect with the dog that we have and bond and find joy with the dog that is in front of us, regardless of their, again, quote unquote, behavioral challenges. With a reactive dog who is 10, I find so much joy with him after having let go of those expectations and realized he's not going to be a therapy dog. I'm not going to put him in that situation. I'm not going to try to work him through that level of stress that he was clearly feeling when it just wasn't for him. That was for me that I wanted that, you know? So that doesn't mean that I don't have a joyful life with him that I am so grateful for.
So I know in your case specifically, you know, letting go of that and then finding ways to fall in love with new possibilities led to, you know, a whole organization and program and community and things like that. But on a maybe, you know, day-to-day practical level, what are some practices that an owner could do to kind of help themselves let go of that kind of rigid previous thought about what success might be?
The word that comes to mind is play.
Oh,
honestly, for me, that is
heck
to
yeah.
Me, yeah. Right. That is the most, in my limited non-dog trainer view.
So much easier than I thought you were. I thought we were gonna have to do like serious inner work. We're like,
oh, no.
You want me to play? Let's go.
I want you to play with them. Play with
Let's
your
do
dog.
It.
Play
oh my gosh,
with
I
them
love that.
As much as you. I'm getting goosebumps saying this. I just,
yeah.
Because the moments that I put my phone down, grab his toy.
Stop trying
you know,
to
just,
check off boxes just, and accomplish goals
whatever,
and just,
right,
just
exactly.
Get in there. Yeah. Oh,
just
I
get
love
in there
that.
And see him have that moment of joy brings me the joy. Like it's just this. I mean, have you ever watched your dog run around and be so stoked to be running around and it just fills you up so much to see that for them?
Yes.
You can access that anytime. And the more that you access that, the more connected you're going to feel to the dog that you have.
Yeah.
Right. You don't have to have 20 acres or take them to the sniff spot every single time or right. People make it complicated. We played tug in the living room while my kids' toys were everywhere. And I was trying not to step on them this morning for like 10
right.
minutes before I started working.
And
he was all wiggly
it.
And I loved it. And we had a great moment together this morning. And now he's snoozing in bed and I'm, you know, it started.
Everyone feels good.
Everyone started their day from that space, you know? So
I love that.
I don't know. It's yes. Do the inner work, uncover
but
your
also
emotions.
Play.
But just like if you're going to do nothing else, play together.
Oh, I love it. That is such fantastic advice. So Jess, I would love for you to tell the dog people out there about your community and the ways in which they could work with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love doing one-on-one work. I do individual coaching sessions for folks who are struggling with their own emotions about their dog and what's coming up for them. And I also have a group community program called the Complex Canine Community. In there, it's discussion boards and posts and exercises and mini courses and all those things that you can dive into with other people who really, really, really get it. And we have two live group support calls with me a month where you can bring the things you're struggling with. We do activities together, all sorts of things. So that is one of my favorite things to do is to do our live group support calls. We have people from all over the world joining
us.
I love
that.
Really excited.
I would love to maybe snag a little seat and kind of jump in spy 1 month. So
you should. Yeah.
Okay. I would love that. All right. Well, you can connect with Jess on Instagram at @handlersandhumans, and you can find more information on her programs and community and a link to work with her in the show notes. Thanks for joining us in the world of Dog Training Bites, where every challenge brings a lesson worth sinking our teeth into. See you next time. Dog Training Bites was created, produced, and edited by Madison Simpson. You can connect with me on Instagram at Dog Training Bites, that's BYTES, and at Freed by Training. For information on today's guest and resources for help with your dog or dog training education, visit www.dogtrainingbites.stream. Looking for more? Listen to my other show, Unpacked, a clinical dog training podcast co-hosted by Sailor Jerry the Dog Trainer and produced by Straight Up Dog Talk, LLC.